Well, good morning. If you got a Bible, go ahead and grab it and open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to be there here in just a minute. And as a reminder, last week, Pastor Jarrett introduced to our entire church family, all three campuses of Champion Forest, the focus of our church. And he summarized it in one statement. He said, Champion Forest advances the kingdom of God by making disciples, number one, by loving our community, that's number two, and by strengthening the church. And these next 3 weeks, we're going to unpack those three focus statements, focus priorities. And the first one we're going to see is making disciples. And so as we get rolling this morning into the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, I want to give you a few personal examples of what this has looked like in my life. And I've got some pictures we'll put on the screen. The first picture is me as a kid with my grandparents on my mom's side. That's Meemaw and Dita. That's what I called them as a kid growing up. And I've got a lifetime of memories with these two. But some of my most concrete memories, right, of life with them growing up, what was at their little church in Sylacauga, Alabama. And we spent so much time up there, and I watched them live out the words of Jesus. I watched them live lives of love for other people, for hospitality, for service, right, for sharing the gospel anywhere that God sent them. They went around the world, right, sharing the love of Jesus with anyone that would listen, and they shared it with me. And we spent a lot of time together when I was a kid, and they showed me what it looked like, and they answered questions about the Word of God, and they were disciplers in my life, teaching me how to walk with Jesus. This next picture is two guys that I met when I was in middle school, Mike Taylor and John McGee. They were my student pastors when I was a student, and they invested in me in a major, major way as I was growing up. They taught me, they corrected me, they redirected me, they corrected me some more, right? And they encouraged me, right, to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength. These guys were a constant presence in my life as a student growing up through middle school and high school. And here's the thing, right, without aging myself too much, I'm going to have a middle school of my own, right, next year. And these guys are still an active presence in my life. They are still actively calling me. They are actively praying for me. They are actively investing in my life day in and day out to ensure that I'm living the life that Jesus has called me to live. And then this third picture here is a guy named Tom Hope, right? This is me and Chelsea and Tom and Jane at an Aggie football game, and diehard Aggies, right? They're every game. And so Tom, I met him on a mission trip one time, and almost immediately he became a discipler to me. Right? He discipled me as a kid growing up. He discipled me as a young pastor. We spent a lot of time together each week talking about scripture, talking about life, talking about what it meant to walk with Jesus. He invested in me. Right? He understood the importance of the Great Commission when Jesus said, make disciples. He knew that it was a process that never stopped. Right? He knew it was an ongoing investment that we are called to make in the lives of other people. Now, we call him T. Hope in our house, and T. Hope has gone on to be with Jesus. He's in heaven now. But here's the deal. He understood the fact that this was a process. He understood the fact that this never ends. And listen to what T. Hope did. T. Hope ensured that I was continually being discipled even after he was gone. He asked older pastors that we both knew to continue those meetings and to continue that investment in me because he knows how important it is to live out the words of Jesus day in and day out in our life. And listen, I'd imagine that what I just shared is the same for you. All right, you could probably stand up here and share a handful of people that have made you the follower of Jesus that you are today. Right? People that have invested in you, that have influenced you, that have discipled you. But here's the question that you and I need to answer today as we turn to God's Word. Could someone else say that of you? Could someone else say that, man, you spurred them on to follow Jesus more closely? Could someone say, man, you challenged them to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Could someone say, hey, you know what? At a time in my life when I was walking it away contrary to the Word of God, man, they stepped in. They corrected me. They rebuked me. They challenged me and pointed me back to a loving relationship with God. Could someone say, man, because of your investment in their life, they understand how to read the Word of God, how to apply it to their lives. And listen, I pray there's people that would say that about each and every one of us. And my prayer is this, is that as we continue to walk with Jesus, as we continue to focus on making disciples, more and more and more people would be able to say that of each one of us because of our focus on making disciples and investing in the lives of other people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a pastor in Germany. As Hitler came to power, he wrote extensively on making disciples. I'd encourage you to pick up his book, The Cost of Discipleship. I'd encourage you to read his biography that was written later about him. It's unbelievable. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he lost his life in a concentration camp before World War II ended. He was a great man of God. He's still making disciples today through his writing. But here's one of my favorite quotes of his regarding discipleship. He says this, "Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ." Think about that. Christianity without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. Why would he say that? Because if we're walking with Jesus, discipleship is our way of life. Look at Matthew 28. You've got your Bibles open there. Matthew 28, starting in verse 19, God's word says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These verses here are known as the Great Commission. This is a command. It's given from Jesus to each and every one of us that calls ourselves followers of Jesus. Please understand that this is not a command that was exclusively given to pastors or to seminary students or people that would be in front of a group of people. This command is for those who are already disciples of Jesus, those who are Christians, to help other people become disciples of Jesus, right? That is what should be the focus of our lives. And as we unpack this today, a driving question behind this that we should all be considering is this, is when I stand before the Lord one day, am I going to be happy with what I have to present him? He told me to make disciples. Have I lived a life doing what he said? Have I lived a life investing in other people in order to make disciples? Let's break this verse down. Look at verse 19 in your Bibles. The first word in your Bible, verse 19, is more than likely therefore. Here's a little tip when you're reading your Bible, when you're studying. If you come to the word therefore in a sentence, you need to stop and ask yourself, what is it therefore? Because almost every time the word therefore means that the previous verse or the previous verses have a major impact on the verse or on the passage that you are reading. And so let's back up to verse 18 to understand the Great Commission in light of the context of the passage. Verse 18 says this, it's right before the Great Commission. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So you'll see verse 18 plays a major role in verse 19. The Great Commission, the words of Jesus here, they're viable, they hold water, they are powerful. Why? It's because of the authority that Jesus has. So as we seek to live this out, as we seek to understand the call to make disciples, the first thing this morning that you and I must understand is this. We make disciples based on the authority of Jesus, right? We make disciples because of who Jesus is, because of what Jesus says, and because of the full authority that he has, right? He speaks and creation is in existence, right? He holds the world, the universe in the palm of his hand. It's the one with that kind of authority that has looked at us and said, go. He said, go and make disciples. Let that be the focus. He's Lord over all. And as Lord over us, he has called us into disciple making. So let's get moving. Right? Let's do what he's told us. Now, with that context, look at verse 19 again, the beginning of the Great Commission. Jesus says, because I have authority over all, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Our second point this morning is this. Guys, we make disciples out of obedience to Jesus. We make disciples out of obedience to him. These are the words of Jesus. This is a command, the imperative in that sentence, the action verb, the command, the anchor point of the sentence is make disciples. disciples. And that's Jesus' plan from the very beginning of his ministry. If you flip back to Matthew chapter 4, I believe it's verse 19, Jesus is calling his first disciples. And what does he say? He says, hey, follow me, and I'm going to make you to become what? I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men, right? That's it. That's the first thing he told them. If you're going to follow me, you're going to invest in other people. And the Great Commission, what we're reading this morning, that's the last thing he told them. Look at this. The words of Jesus begin and end with investing in other people. The words of Jesus to his followers in Scripture. I mean, they begin and they end with making disciples, right? Well, we're to be disciples who make disciples. We can't read our Bible and come to any other conclusion than that. We're called to make disciples. And you might agree with me right now. And I really hope you do, because if you don't, you're wrong. These aren't my words. They're Jesus' words. And you might be leaning in. You might agree. And even as you say, you know what, I'm reading this with you. I'm looking at my Bible, and that's what Jesus has called us to do, but I don't know how. I don't know what that should look like for me. Well, if that's what you're saying this morning, let's keep digging in. It's important that all of us leave here understanding and knowing what that means and how to do it. Because a command, which is what this is, a command without clarity, it generally doesn't work out. A lot of you know that I coached a 6-year-old flag football team this past fall, and I became the offensive coordinator because the original offensive coordinator quit. And I'm just telling you, that's a very stressful place to be with a bunch of 6-year-olds running around that don't know what they're doing. And at one of our first practices, I put a ball in a kid's hand, and I said, I want you to run around the cone and go down the field and don't let anybody pull your flag. That seems very simple, right? Let me show you what he did. I got a cone right there. I said, run around it and go down the field. And he took the ball, and he just ran down the field. And I said, what are you doing? You're supposed to run around the cone. And he goes, oh, okay, I got it. And he took the ball again, and he ran down the field without going around the cone. And so then I instructed him. Chelsea would say I instructed him too loudly, but I instructed him, run around the cone. You've got to get it right. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, you made a run around the cone. I said, yeah, that's what I've been. Anyway. Do it. And he goes, okay, great. And this is literally what he did. He took the ball and he came to the cone and he ran around the cone. And he didn't stop running around the cone until he got dizzy and fell down and dropped the ball. He just didn't get it. And so I had to use another approach. I figured I need to change my vocabulary here. He's not getting it the way that I'm saying it. I need to say it a different way. I said it a different way. I explained it. Then I showed him myself. I did it, showed him what I wanted him to do. And guess what? Then he got it, right? He didn't have any problems after that. As we seek to live out the commands of Jesus, as we seek to make disciples, we need to know how to do it, right? We need to know what a disciple is. So let's make sure we're on the same page with a definition here. Look at the screen. Here's a working definition. A disciple of Jesus is this. It's someone that's following Jesus, someone that's being changed by the teachings of Jesus, and who is living out the mission of Jesus by what? By making more disciples of Jesus, right? Disciples of Jesus are making more disciples of Jesus. That is our call. It's on the screens right there. That is what Jesus has called us to focus our lives on, making more disciples. And it happens through a process in the church we often call discipleship, right? Here's what discipleship is. It's a developmental process. It's not a box to check. It's not a program to enter into. It's not an event that at some point is completed. This is ongoing, right? Those guys that started with me years and years and years ago, man, they've continued with me in this process of discipleship. It's a process where believers intentionally pass on to others what they know, what they've experienced, and what they are learning from Jesus so that other people become more like Jesus. Right, that's discipleship. And if you look at that definition on the screens, notice this. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus. It doesn't matter how old you are. You simply start where you're at. You start with what Jesus has done in your life and share your testimony. You start with what you are learning from God, and then you pass it on to the people that are in your life. It's a lifelong process. or in the case of T. Hope in my life, it's a process that he and Sherwood would continue even after he was gone. Look back at the words of Jesus, Matthew 28, verse 19. He gives us some instructions in there on what this can look like for us. He says, therefore, go, it's a big word, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that he's commanded us. What does that look like? Well, we can get started with discipleship, right? We can make disciples by doing what he says in the verse. The first aspect of that, if you're wondering how we make disciples, is go, right? That means sharing the gospel, sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with the people in your life. It means urging them to repent of their sins and to trust in Jesus as Savior. And listen, as the followers of Jesus ourselves, we've got to be. We have to be ready, willing, and able to show the people in our lives in the Word of God their need for Jesus and how to trust in Him and Him alone as Savior. And listen, in the world that we live in today and the culture that surrounded us today, some people might look at us and say, that's a bit much. My faith is a private thing. Faith is a personal thing. You might even be thinking, man, who am I? Who am I to tell someone else how to live? Who am I to share that with someone else? Well, listen, if we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, if we believe that Jesus has authority over all, if we believe that the only way to a right relationship with God is through Jesus Christ, then going and making disciples, that's the only thing that makes sense. Right, what doesn't make sense is a Christian that's sitting back and waiting. What doesn't make sense is a Christian sitting back and hoping that somebody else will get out there and do it. Listen, we don't like to think like this, but we don't have forever. We've got a short window in this world, a short window in this life. And sometimes waiting or hesitating leads to major consequences. August 7th, 1982. There was a game between the White Sox and the Red Sox. And in the fourth inning, there was a line drive that was hit into the stands just over the top of the first base dugout. And there was a dad sitting there, and he had two kids with him, his four-year-old and his two-year-old sons. And this line drive, it goes into the dugout, and it hits his four-year-old in the head, and immediately the four-year-old's unconscious. And he's laying there over on the top of the dugout. And there's a big gash on his head, and I mean, it's obvious that he's in trouble. There's blood that's coming out of his head, and everybody's looking around wondering what to do. And there was a player on the field that day. It ended up being a Hall of Famer down the road, and his name was Jim Rice. And Jim Rice looked up there and knew that something had to be done. And so he jumps off the field into the stands. He runs and he grabs the boy from the dad, jumps back down onto the field, goes into the dugout, and puts him in the arms of the team doctor that's there. There's a picture of Jim Rice doing it right in the middle of the game. And he puts him in the hands of this doctor, and the doctor begins work immediately. They get him taken care of. They took him under the tunnel and into an ambulance and to the hospital. And the doctors at the hospital said if it had been minutes later before arriving, that four-year-old boy wouldn't have lived. Right? His immediate actions that day saved a life. The kid's name was Jonathan, and they interviewed him when he was older about that incident. And this is what Jonathan had to say about it. Jonathan said, Jim Rice's reaction and his ability to stay cool in that situation, listen to this, when no one else did anything was remarkable. They asked Jim Rice about it in the same interview, and with incredible humility, just listen to what he said. If it was your kid, what would you have done? A whole bunch of people that day did nothing. They sat back and they watched. But the actions of one saved a life. As we go back to the Great Commission here, as we go back to making disciples, listen, following Jesus means we can't be in the crowd doing nothing. Following Jesus means that we are not spectators. Following Jesus means that we don't sit back and hope that somebody else will jump in and take care of what we know God has sent us to take care of. As we follow Jesus, as we're disciples of Jesus, we have to be people of action. Right? We've got to be people of urgency, ready, willing, and able to get up and to share the hope that we have in Jesus. And listen, we've shared a lot of methods on how to do that over the years. That's been a conversation that we've had very frequently here in this room. And so I hope that you feel equipped to do that, to share what Christ has done in your heart. But if you need a tool for that or another refresher, you can scan the QR code on your seat. A bunch of links will pop up. One of them says three circles. Click on it. Great tool for sharing the gospel It's simple, it's easy, and it's incredibly effective to introduce people to Christ and help them become a disciple. Look back at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We see that we're supposed to go and make disciples. Second, in this process of discipleship, we see we're supposed to baptize, right? Baptism is a key deal. We show the work of Jesus in their life. It's right there in the commands of Jesus. When people trust him as Lord and Savior, that's the next step. And it's been regarded throughout church history as the first step of obedience for a new believer. Think about Pentecost in the book of Acts as Peter preaches to this whole group of people and people begin to get saved and trust in Jesus. They say, what do we do? And he says, repent and be baptized. It's the first step of obedience for a new believer. Listen, your baptism matters. Right? Well, when you got baptized, it was a public profession. It encouraged other believers. It shared the gospel with people that had not yet believed. And not only was it this public profession that identified you with the church family, listen, it was an act of obedience to the very words of Jesus. We see clearly that's what he's called us to do as we trust in him. And here's the reality for us. It's really hard for us to live out the commands of Jesus and to make disciples and baptize these people that trust in him unless we're living as disciples ourselves. All right, so this morning, let me just say, if you've trusted Christ and you haven't been baptized, I want you to start praying and thinking right now. Because at the end of our service, we're gonna sing a little bit more when our teaching time wraps up. And if you've never been baptized, but you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to invite you. When everybody else stands up to sing, I'm going to invite you to meet me at that door right over there. And we want you to celebrate your baptism this morning. We've got several already planning to be baptized today. You won't be alone. We've got all the clothes you need. I think there's even hair dryers back there to get ready afterwards. So listen, if that's a step that you know you need to take, listen, don't leave here today without living out the words of Jesus. If you've been holding back for one reason or another, let those reasons go today and celebrate baptism out of obedience to Christ. And then third, here's the deal. We know that as we seek to make disciples, we are told to teach them how to obey the words of Jesus. Look at what he said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Every believer is called to this, to teach others about Jesus and how to follow him. Here's what Jesus doesn't say, right? Jesus doesn't say everyone with a microphone can teach people about Jesus. He doesn't say everyone that leads a life group class or that's a certain age or who's been a Christian a certain amount of time can teach people about Jesus. In his words here, there's no qualifications. There's no restrictions other than being a disciple of Jesus. And listen, too often, believers as a whole miss this. They read the Great Commission, and they end up like my football player running in circles around a cone because they don't understand how Jesus has called us to live this out. Leading people to that relationship with Christ and baptizing them and then teaching them the words of Jesus, that's for every single one of us that's in a relationship with Christ. Some might have different giftings for teaching, but every one of us should saturate our words with the words of Jesus. Every single one of us should saturate our words with the words of Scripture. Our conversations, our discussions, the advice that we give people, I know that we speak into people's lives each and every day, those words should be so saturated with the words of Jesus that in the advice we are giving other people, we are teaching them how to live out and obey all that Christ has commanded. The New Testament church got this. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he writes to Timothy, "The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Right? Paul writes to Timothy, a kid that he's discipling in the faith, and he says, "Timothy, you now need to go and teach people, and you need to teach them so well that they get it, so well that they understand it, so well that they can turn around and teach it to other people who are going to get it and understand it and be able to teach it to other people as well." Right? It's relational. It doesn't happen in a drive-by kind of situation. It doesn't happen in the big room. It happens when we're one-on-one with other people focused on making disciples. And we see with Paul and Timothy, man, they picked people, right? They picked people in their life and they just began to invest in them. So this morning, I want to encourage you to pick people. I want to encourage you to jot down some names where you're taking notes, but begin to think. You know, married couples, think of other couples that you could disciple, that you could mentor. Students, think about friends or classmates. Think about the people that are in your life, moms and dads. Right? You've got people living in your house that God has called you to disciple. Deuteronomy 6, right? I mean, your home, it should be a home of discipleship where you're teaching your kids to obey all that Jesus has commanded us. Or you're teaching them to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but it doesn't stop in the house. You got friends, you've got neighbors, you got coworkers, students, you got classmates, you got teammates. Listen, every day we are surrounded by so many people, that this can be a reality for in our lives. Jot some names down this morning. But don't just jot down names of people that you can invest in. Why don't you jot down a name or two of someone that can invest in you? Or if nobody's pouring into you, if you're not learning from someone that's older than you in the faith, that is further along in their walk with Jesus, man, I want to encourage you to do life with them, to get connected to them. Find someone to help disciple you. And then on both ends of this, as a disciple and a discipler, don't just let it be a passing thought this morning. Follow through. All right, do it. Ask somebody to come alongside you as you follow Jesus together. If you're not sure where to start with that, if you want to be a part of a relationship like that, either as a disciple that somebody's investing in you, or you want to be a discipler and help somebody else, and you're just not sure who in your life you could do that for, just text the word disciple to the number on the screen, 77069. We'll pair you up. We'll put you with people if you're willing to grow, if you're willing to teach. We will pair you up because of how big a deal this is in the Word of God, right? Disciples of Jesus make disciples of Jesus. And if in your brain you need a roadmap on what that looks like or how to start, let me just remind you that our discipleship team here at the church wrote a book. And they called it Next Steps. Fantastic workbook for you to work through with someone else that will help you teach them the words of Jesus and how to obey everything that He has commanded us to do. I want to encourage you, jump in and begin those relationships. Listen, we could go on and on and on about this, but to be very, very clear, if we're going to be obedient to Christ, I believe that's the heartbeat of our church family. If we're going to be obedient to Christ, it means we're going to be making disciples, which means we're going to be leading people to Christ, we're going to be baptizing them, and then we're going to be teaching them to live like Jesus has told us to live. And this entire concept might be a little overwhelming to you. Might scare you. You might think, man, this is, I don't know that I can do this. But don't forget how verse 20 ends. Look at the end of Jesus' sentence there. Jesus says, and surely I am what? I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's our third and final point this morning. It's the presence of Jesus that makes it possible for you. It's the presence of Jesus that makes it possible for me or anybody else to make disciples of Jesus. The book of Matthew, one we're in this morning, chapter 1, it starts out in Matthew 1 when the angel is talking to Joseph saying, you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The book of Matthew, right, it starts out with God promising to be with us. And then it ends the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 20, where Jesus has promised what? He's promised to be with us. Listen, to the very end of the age. This command of making disciples, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about what we can do. This is all about Jesus, right? We don't do anything apart from the presence of God with us. And that's promise. That's where He's promised He'll be as we make disciples. So let's be disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. Would you pray with me? I encourage you to bow your heads and just think about the words of Jesus this morning. Think about those that have discipled you, that have invested in you. Man, think about who God is calling you to invest in. And as you're considering the words of Scripture this morning, I've just got three questions that I want to ask. And the first is this, is are you a disciple of Jesus? Have you trusted in Him as Lord and Savior? Because if not, that's your first step this morning. In just a minute, as we stand to sing, man, our connection room is going to be open in the back. And while we're worshiping, if you have never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to slip out of where you're standing to that room right there in the back. It's on my left, your right. And just tell them you're ready to trust Jesus as Savior. This morning, if you've trusted in Jesus as Savior, but you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you, right? Don't put it off any longer, right? Whatever it is that's been holding you back this morning, right? Follow through with believer's baptism, the first step of obedience in Christ. And publicly, right, declare to your church family and to those around that you have trusted in Jesus as Savior and that you're committed to living as a disciple of Christ. Be praying about that. And in just a minute, if you're ready to be baptized, I want to encourage you to join with those that have already come and be baptized this morning. Next question. Are you making disciples? It was the last words of Jesus to his followers. It was given to us as a command. Yes, the question is, are we doing it? Are we living it out? You know, we teach and we go to the Word of God not just to fill our heads, but to move our hearts and to move our lives to a place of action. Right? So don't read this morning. Don't hear this morning and step out of here without committing to be obedient to what Jesus has called us to do, without committing to stepping into those discipleship relationships, to teach others what it means, what it looks like to walk with Christ. Share the gospel with others. Share what you're learning with others. And then my last question for you is simply this. Who's it going to be? It's you and the Lord right now in prayer. Just ask God to impress on your heart who those relationships are in your life, who you can pour into, who you can invest in. And as he puts those names, those faces on your heart even now, man, commit to living in obedience and following through and doing what he has told you to do. God, we love you with all our heart, soul, and strength. And our desire is to be obedient to you. God, to do what you have called us to do. God, this morning, I know that there's some of us in here. God, we need to trust you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray for those that are feeling you impress that on their heart right now. God, Lord, I pray that in just a minute they'd stand and they'd trust you as Savior. God, many of us in here maybe have trusted you as Savior and have never been baptized. God, I pray that you give them the boldness now to step out in obedience to you as a testimony of their church family, God, and be baptized this morning. And God, all of us are being called to step out of here and make disciples. God, let that be the focus of our hearts and our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me now? We're going to worship together. If you need to trust Christ as Savior, our connection room is right back there, and the door's open. All right, if you need to be baptized this morning, turn to the people that you're with and say, you know what? I'm stepping forward in baptism, and meet us at that door right over there where that exit sign is. We'll take care of everything with you. Let's worship together.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.